For more than 200 years, the Beam family has been dedicated to making the highest quality bourbon, using the family's world-renowned expertise. Hard work, dedication, and vision have paved the way to make Jim Beam the standard for all bourbons in the world. In this episode, we will talk about the man himself and how he changed bourbon forever. More after a message from our sponsor. The Mute Button Podcast is your source for real commentary, heartfelt dialogue, conspiracy theories, and that much-needed laugh. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter, where you will find stupid dad jokes and inspirational messages. Listen to us on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Anchor, and 30-plus other platforms. Shortly after the Revolutionary War, the newly formed U.S. government encouraged homesteaders to settle west of the Appalachian Mountains. Settlers were promised 60 acres of land in return for clearing the land and growing corn for at least 2 years. Among the homesteaders were Jacob Beam, a miller from Germany by way of Virginia, who in 1788 brought his family and his belongings, including a copper still, to Bourbon County, Kentucky. Beam and many other settlers found fertile lands and clear limestone-fed springs, and their corn grew exceedingly well. Beam built a water mill to grind his corn and his neighbor's farmers' corn crops, taking a percentage of the grain in exchange. Because the grain did not keep long and was difficult to transport, many farmers, including Beam, began to distill their surplus corn into whiskey. Whiskey, which did not spoil and was easy to transport, soon became an important part of the economy and was often used as a payment in place of the unstable currency of the day. The whiskey these farmers made, with its high corn content and the amber color it drew from being stored in charred old oak barrels, became known as bourbon after Bourbon County. Jacob Beam's bourbon, made according to his own recipe, quickly achieved a wide reputation for its quality. In 1795, Beam sold a barrel of his bourbon in Washington County, Kentucky, taking cash for the first time. By then, the word distillery had been coined from the distilling process used for producing bourbon, and more farmers were establishing their own distilleries. By the start of the War of 1812, Kentucky alone boasted more than 2,000 distillers. After inheriting land from his wife's father, Beam moved his still and his family of 12 children to Washington County. Demand for Kentucky bourbon soon spread throughout the entire country. Jacob Beam's son, David, took over the family business in 1820, inheriting his father's recipe for bourbon. The United States was then entering the Industrial Age. The invention of the steam engine, the digging of the Erie Canal, and the construction of the first railroads made it easier to transport goods around the country. David Beam had 10 children who helped in running the family distillery. And by 1850, David Beam's son, David M. Beam, took his father's place, distilling bourbon according to Jacob Beam's original recipe. But 4 years later, upon the death of his father, David M. Beam moved the distillery to Nelson County, Kentucky, put it close to the railroad, which had by then reached Kentucky. David M. Beam now called the distillery the Clear Spring Distillery. Beam continued to produce the family's bourbon throughout the Civil War. The bourbon would become most famous under the name of David M. Beam's son, James Beauregard Beam, who was born in 1864. James Beauregard Beam entered the family business at the age of 16 and took over the distillery and its bourbon recipe 14 years later. During the latter 1800s and into the new century, distillers were faced with growing pressures from bootleggers, the temperance movement, and increasing government regulations. In an effort to stop the bootlegging or counterfeiting of known whiskey brands, Congress passed legislation in 1897 creating bonded whiskey, which would become defined as whiskey that had been aged for at least 4 years in a government-bonded warehouse. Bonded whiskeys were sealed with a green paper stamp. The liquor industry was brought under the control of the Federal Food and Drug Act of 1906, and 3 years later, whiskey types were given their first legal definitions. These same years saw waves of new immigrants arriving in the United States, and the Clear Spring Distillery continued to prosper through the first two decades of the 20th century. The rise of the temperance movement in response to increasing problems associated with the abuse of alcoholic beverages reached its peak in 1919, when Congress ratified the 18th Amendment. The following year, with the passage of the Volstead Act providing enforcement of the new law, the United States entered into the Prohibition era. James Beam was forced to shut down his distillery. He turned instead to growing citrus in Florida and mining, but he continued to guard the family's bourbon recipe. Prohibition proved unenforceable and was finally repealed by the 21st Amendment in 1933. James Beam built a new modern distillery, and aided by his son, T. Jeremiah Beam, he returned to making bourbon. In that year, the James B. Beam Distilling Company was incorporated in Claremont, Kentucky. Following his great-grandfather's recipe, Beam cultivated a new strain of yeast to replace the culture lost during Prohibition. Beam, then 70 years old, continued to run the company until 1946, when T. Jeremiah Beam was named president and treasurer. Upon James Beam's death the following year, T. Jeremiah became the Beam Company's master distiller. The company's corporate offices were moved to Chicago in 1949, and while its distilling operations were maintained in Claremont. But with no children of his own, T. Jeremiah brought his nephew, Booker Noe, into the company in 1950. By 1954, the company had built a second distillery to meet the demand for its bourbon, which by then had occupied the country's number one selling position for nearly two decades. Booker Noe became Jim Beam's master distiller in 1960. In 1964, bourbon was declared a distinctive product of the United States by congressional resolution. This meant that, by law, bourbon was required to be made from at least 51% corn and to be aged for a minimum of 2 years in charred white oak barrels, and more importantly, that it had to be produced in the United States. 3 years later, American Brands brought the James B. Beam Distilling Company from the Beam family. After they bought the distilling company and acquired James Beam's bourbon recipe, Booker Noe would remain on as the master distiller. Using the yeast strand cultivated by James B. Beam, by then the Beam family's business had grown to $113 million in annual sales. Throughout its history, the company had maintained a single product. And as a subsidiary of American Brands, however, the James B. Beam Distilling Company began to expand its product line, adding brands and other categories during the 1970s and the 1980s. New pressures had arisen for the liquor industry. Concern over alcohol's effect on health led to legislation requiring warning labels on each bottle sold. Bans on television advertising were introduced, restricting liquor companies to print ads. At the same time, alcoholism became officially recognized as a disease, and programs such as Alcoholics Anonymous were created to help people stop drinking. So-called white liquors such as vodka and gin were becoming more popular. People were becoming increasingly more conscious of their health, further depressing alcohol consumption. At the same time, more and more states were leveling so-called sin taxes on alcoholic and tobacco products. Domestic sales of alcoholic beverages peaked in 1979 with nearly 200 million cases sold. 10 years later, that figure had dropped to less than 160 million cases. Nevertheless, Jim Beam bourbon sales continued to rise, and by 1983, it was the fifth largest selling whiskey brand with sales of $125 million. Jim Beam's distilling product portfolio grew through a combination of new product development and acquisition of existing brands. The company introduced products such as Camorra, decaffeinated coffee liquor, liqueur, and mixes such as Jim Beam and Cola, geared to add younger drinkers to Beam's traditionally older customer base. It also acquired brands such as Peter Herring, Cherry Liqueur, and Alibord Akravardi Vodka. And by 1984, the company posted $246 million in revenue. Jim Beam bourbon sold more than 4 million cases, accounting for roughly one-fourth of all bourbon sales. 2 years later, sales had slipped slightly to 3.8 million cases, but by then, however, Jim Beam was the third largest selling liquor in the United States, behind Bacardi Rum and Smirnoff Vodka. In 1987, Jim Beam Distilling tripled in size with American Brand's $545 million cash purchase of National Distillers and Chemical Corporation's Distilling Division, which had sales of $580 million in 1986. Among the labels now included in Jim Beam's distilling catalog were Windsor Canadian, DeCooper Cordials, and Gilby's Gin and Vodka. Also acquired were the bourbons Old Granddad, Old Crow, and Old Taylor. Together, the new labels added nearly 9 million cases to the company's annual sales. To reflect its growing portfolio, the company changed its name to Jim Beam Brands in 1988. Its corporate headquarters were moved to a new location just outside of Chicago. Through 1989, the company weathered a lawsuit alleging that a pregnant woman's consumption of Jim Beam bourbon had caused birth defects in her child, and that had threatened the entire liquor industry. Beam was found not liable in May of 1989. Beam's acquisitions continued into the 1990s with the $272 million purchase of the United Kingdom-based White & McKay Distillers, bringing that company's best-selling Scotch whiskeys into its product line. In 1990, Beam's volume topped 15 million cases. The following year, Beam Brands paid Seagram $372.5 million for seven of its brand trademarks, including the strong sellers, Ronrico Rum and Wolfschmidt Vodka. Jim Beam Brands, with annual sales of nearly 21 million cases, was now the second largest distiller, behind the 27.5 million cases of Leader, IDV, and Grand Met. The recession of the 1990s, coupled with increases in taxes, the Middle East war, and the continued growth of the health and fitness movement, brought further declines in annual liquor consumption. Throughout the 1980s and early 1990s, bourbon sales, for example, had dropped an average of 5% each year. This trend began to reverse in 1993 when only a 2% drop in sales was posted. Part of this reverse came from the growing popularity of small batch and boutique bourbons. Maker's Mark had been producing a small batch bourbon since the 1960s, but beginning in 1987, Jim Beam Brands began to market its own small batch bourbons under the names Basil Hayden's, Knob Creek, Baker's, and Booker's, the latter by Booker No. Small batch bourbons were produced in lots of less than 1,000 barrels, in contrast to the 1 million or more barrels of the other brands. Single barrel bourbons, as the name implied, remained unblended and were aged up to 8 years. With prices ranging up to $50 per bottle, these bourbons borrowed the more sophisticated image of single malt scotches, and in turn simulated interest in the bourbon category as a whole. Hello, y'all. It's P. Lee Spears again. For most of my life, I was in law enforcement corrections. That career came to an abrupt end as a result of debilitating PTSD and suicidal thoughts. My book, Redeemed, the story of survival of a corrections officer, is a heartbreaking yet inspirational look into what was going on in my head, and more importantly, about how I found redemption through such a battle. You can find my book on Lulu Press and also at my website, pleespears.com. If you know of someone who's battling PTSD, depression, or having experienced suicidal thoughts in the past, this is a great book for you to understand what they're going through. Again, you'll find it on lulupress.com or pleespears.com. By 1995, Jim Beam Brand's portfolio had grown to encompass nearly every category of distilled spirits. Its products were grouped under three divisions: Core Group, Imports and Specialties, and Value Brands Group, offering a brand for every taste and budget. Jim Beam Bourbon, with 5 million cases sold in 1994, continued to be the company's flagship brand. The company continued to strategically position itself among the leading distilled spirit manufacturers into the late 1990s. In 1996, it strengthened its relationship with Destilleria Cerales Incorporated to distribute the Paho Villa and Don Q brands of Puerto Rican rums in the United States. The company also partnered with them in the early 1990s to distribute the Ronrico rum brand in the U.S. The Geyser Park Winery was acquired in 1998, adding wines to Jim Beam's growing product line. The company launched a new advertising campaign in 1999, marking the first time that the Jim Beam brand was marketed on a global level. Meanwhile, the company's parent underwent a series of restructuring moves. In 1997, American Brands spun off of its tobacco holdings and changed its name to Fortune Brands Incorporated. It was done in an order to better reflect its growing portfolio of leading consumer products. Fortune's distilled spirits business fell under control of Jim Beam Brands Worldwide Incorporated, which acted as a holding company for Jim Beam Brands Company. In 1999, Jim Beam Brands Worldwide created Maximum Worldwide BV to distribute and market wines and spirits outside of the United States. The company's next move came in 2001 when it partnered with Vin and Sprit AB in a $645 million deal that created a joint distribution company, Fortune Brands LLC. The new unit was created to distribute both Jim Beam brands and Vin and Sprit brands, including Absolute Vodka, and also significantly reduced the company's distribution cost. That year, the firm also sold its UK-based Scotch whiskey business. During the early years of the new millennium, Jim Beam was well positioned for growth. According to a 2001 beverage industry article, studies had shown that there would be a 1.5% more people in the legal drinking age every year for the next 10 years. The article pointed out that this was a bright point in the future of all beer and spirits manufacturers. And indeed, by 2003, Jim Beam had filled its 9 millionth barrel of bourbon. Jim Beam stood as not only the top-selling bourbon in the world, but the leading American whiskey in Eastern Europe, Germany, and Australia. The company's strategy during this time period focused on boosting its hold over the super premium portion of the industry. This included launching marketing campaigns aimed at capturing new customers, including women and Hispanics. Jim Beam also continually worked to expand its distribution network. With over 200 years of experience behind it, Jim Beam appeared to be on track for success in the years to come. Jim Beam Brands Worldwide Incorporated is a holding company for the distilled spirits and wine operations of Fortune Brands Incorporated, accounting for some 20% of Fortune's annual sales. Jim Beam Brands manufactures and markets nearly 80 brands of distilled spirits now, along with fine wines in 160 countries across the globe. And with over 200 years of history under its belt, Jim Beam has long been the world's best-selling bourbon. The company filled its 9 millionth barrel, as we said, in 2003, and it continues to grow. Some of the company's other brands include DeCooper Cordials, Windsor Canadian Supreme Whiskey, Kessler American Blended Whiskey, Camorra Coffee Liqueur, Knob Creek, Booker Small Batch Bourbons, Ronrico, and Vox Vodka. And just to think that just a mere nearly 200 years ago, that a man named James Beauregard Beam would be born And in just a few short years, he would change bourbon as we know it. Until next time, I'll see you then. The Bourbon on the Cheap podcast examines everything from history to personal reviews of America's spirit. You can connect on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, where you can enjoy our videos and photos or listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, always Anchor.fm.